You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. President Biden recently announced the expansion of two national monuments in California. There is the San Gabriel Mountain National Monument in Southern California, and the other one is just a short drive away in Napa and Mendocino counties. Berryessa Snow Mountain received the federal designation initially back in 2015, but since becoming a national monument, those long devoted to protecting the habitat have felt that designation was incomplete because a ridge that is considered to be a haven for biological diversity was left out. Once known as Walker Ridge, Malakluyuk was renamed by the Yochadehi Wintun Nation, and it means Condor Ridge in Patwin. We originally talked about this expansion push almost exactly a year ago today. And in that time, a bill in Congress made its way to President Biden, formally adding Malakluyuk to the National Monument designation. To learn more about the meaning and the future of the Berryessa Snow Mountain National Monument expansion, we welcome Yochadehi Wintun Nation Tribal Treasurer Leland Kinter. Treasurer Kinter, welcome. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good to be here. Nanu yet Leland Kinter to Yochadehi South. So I'm from Yochadehi.
I love that. And I actually just wanted to start off before we get to this national monument expansion, just with you and your connection and your relationship to the Berryessa Monument growing up.
Yeah, this area is very close to us. And of course, we have been using it for as long as I can remember and as long as anyone can remember for its natural resources, the tribe is intricately tied to the land. It's hard to overstate the importance of that land to our tribe and how it has shaped our beliefs and our culture.
For those who haven't been, can you help us visualize what the nearly 14,000 acres looks like?
Oh, it's a beautiful ridge area. It looks very wild. There's lots of open areas out there. It's rocky. It can get very hot and dry out there, but also it has some important features for our tribe, including the ridges are important there. There were important forms of communications and pathways. Some of the things folks will find out there are some great diversity in animals and plants, some things that are found nowhere else, and also some very unique geology. I'm learning that that's very interesting to geologists out there as
yeah.
well.
Our environmental reporter, Manola Sakaido, went out to that area last year as a bill was making its way through Congress. And they found that, like, when you're standing on the summit, it's about 3,000 feet high. On a clear day, you can see hundreds of miles around you.
Yeah, and that's very important as well. Those landscapes are integral to our cultural beliefs. Seeing those important landscape pieces out from that area lends itself to be very, very important and very rich in sacred sites and archaeological sites out there for that very reason.
And this area was previously known as Walker Ridge. It has been renamed to Malakluyuk. Can you tell us the story of how it was renamed?
It began with us taking interest in the conservation of those lands. We had lots of help from lots of partners. You know, as the BLM was renewing its plan, its use plan, and taking lots of comments, tribes were very vocal in the commenting period. And, we had some really good partners that helped lend their expertise to the reasons why these new designations should be included in a proclamation, and kind of the importance of returning some of those biodiversive areas to their natural state, including the reintroduction of the condor, which is a program that is really close to our hearts.
Right, because Malakluyuk means Condor Ridge in Patwin, correct?
It does. Malakluyuk does mean Condor Ridge, and one of the driving factors was creating a habitat for us to help reintroduce the Malak to the area.
Growing up, what stories did you hear about this area? Because it's incredibly special to the Yochadehi Wintun Nation, and it goes back generations.
Yeah, this area is an important gathering area for many tribes around us, as well as our tribe and our neighbors. Lots of things including the resources there, of course, but the areas are very important historically for us in our tribe. You know, we have family stories about happenings and things that had happened out in the area. It's very important for us and our oral history to remember those areas and the families and people that, that came from those areas and sustain them and manage them for thousands of years.
Of course, the tribal significance is incredibly important. But as you mentioned, there's also this environmental significance as well. You talked about how geologists are really akin to the area. And environmental advocates have also pushed for this expansion because they consider this area, Molokluyok, a biological haven. What makes it so special?
It may be the unique area and also, you know, the change in conservation at the Bureau of Land Management, I think, is another piece. So that land wasn't necessarily exploited minerally for minerals and other things, but, you know, it kind of left portions of it intact. And I think that's unique in the public lands area, you know, that we appreciate those areas that remain untouched and are just asking to be further conserved and protected.
Over the years and even decades before this designation happened, because it just happened recently, what was the concern about the area and how it could be harmed or even degraded?
Well, with public use, there's lots of areas that we were concerned about because of the significance of the biology there and the archaeology. And with unfettered public use, we were concerned about some of the destruction and whether the Bureau would designate some of those areas for projects that could be destructive to some of the really unique things out there, including windmill projects or other things that they're trying to find in their land use, in their, you know, the Bureau's purview. So it's very important for us to put our comments in to help conserve those areas because we think grazing, unfettered use, you know, since they're in charge of administering those, tribes wanted to have a voice in how those lands are managed.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Yochidehi Wintu Nation Tribal Treasurer Leland Kinter about the expansion of the Berryessa Snow Mountain National Monument in Napa and Mendocino counties. This is relatively a new national monument. Berryessa Snow Mountain was designated back in 2015. It's less than a decade ago. Why wasn't this area, Molokluyok, originally included?
I'm not sure of the reason it wasn't included, but this 11-mile stretch that's included includes some very important habitat for the condor that we've identified. And that was one of the main reasons for having the safety protections built into the proclamation. I think one of the unique things about the proclamation is the setting forth that the secretary shall enter into a memorandum of understanding with interested tribal nations. We feel like that's a unique piece to help us give tribes a tool to help manage and conserve those areas.
I mean, you're now across the finish line, right? You have the National Monument designation for this area. But I would imagine there's a lot of work, a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of hurdles to get to this milestone. Can you kind of take us back to the journey to make this a reality?
Yeah, I think it started many years ago. So the tribe manages a large area. Our Aboriginal territory includes five counties, Yolo, Calusa, parts of Napa, part of Lake, and Solano counties. And we've been working for many years to help preserve areas in there, sacred sites, cultural resources. You know, we've entered into other conservation areas. We have the Glen Cove Recreation Area in Solano County that we worked with on a regional basis, regional partners with the Greater Vallejo Recreation District, all the way up to open spaces with the Solano Land Trust. We've worked with the state partners on there and other foundations, including the California for Western Wilderness and the Sierra Club. And this puts this type of partnership at the federal level for us. So we've been practicing. I think we did Glen Cove nearly 15 years ago, and that was kind of not the beginning, but the the partnership portion of our conservation efforts.
There's also a political will, right? Why do you think the political will was there last year to make this happen?
Well, I think that there, you know, there's been some rule changes at the BLM, you know, at the congressional level towards conservation and protection of those lands, you know, in a bigger picture. And, you know, we're happy to be partners. You know, those lands, they were tribal lands to begin with. And, you know, they were administered and looked after by the BLM for private citizenship and public ownership. So the tribes are willing to be partners, but there is a little bit of irony in that that was tribal land. It was managed by the BLM, and now we're coming full circle so that we can help the BLM manage those lands so we can help, it's nice to be recognized for the tribal knowledge that was there in managing those lands for such a long time that we can help along that way. And we are willing partners, even though that land was originally Upland land and other tribal lands.
I mean, you bring up a really important point when it comes to history, right? And needing to remember history. I mean, this is not only a legislative process, and of course it is a good thing that's happening, but I would imagine this journey has also been emotional for you and tribal members.
It has. You know, we were a party to a treaty in 1848, and that was an unratified treaty for our tribe. So these lands being under the control of the federal government, has been a longstanding issue for us. You know, the reservation was very small compared to the five counties that we used to administer conservation for and take care of. So it has been an emotional journey. And even when we talk about partnerships and things, remembering this history has been a journey for the tribe to remember why these things are set up the way they are, but also to let folks know that we are willing to help conserve these areas. These lands are very, very important to us.
Yeah, I mean, you've been part of this land. I mean, you talked about your family has been here since the beginning, you as well, growing up there since you were a child. You're now part of the tribal council, which is a leadership position. You're a voice for your tribe. Outside of the tribal council, when you talk to other tribal members who are taking this all in, how aware or how engaged were they with this process and the possibility of, and which now is a reality, of having this federal protection designation?
These kinds of things are, our citizenship is informed, and we're excited to help out. We have been participating in cultural burning trainings and other pieces with other agencies, building partnerships about land conservation. And those are all citizen-driven. You know, Yochidihi Wintun Nation citizen participation. You know, they're interested in practicing their religion and things on those lands and having the opportunity to gather and lend their knowledge to help those resources thrive. Mm-hmm.
What is being a co-steward, because you're going to be a co-steward with BLM and with the federal government, what does that look like for you? How would you like that to move forward?
Yeah, we are still thinking about that. So as we look at the proclamation and we see that, you know, we shall put together these memorandums, we are looking at ways to be the best partner we can in including other tribes, the other tribes that use those areas and resources, as well as our partners that are interested in those types of conservation, you know, the partners that are helping us bring back the condor, those pieces. So what we're going to be looking for getting probably big roundtable meetings together to see how we can best co-manage and do this together.
Why does the condor have such special significance to the Yochidihi Wintun Nation?
Yes, for thousands of years, the condor has been a part of our religion and a part of our recognition, and his feathers have been part of our regalia for a very long time. And with the absence of the condor, we are limited in the resources that we can acquire from the condor. So sometimes substitutes are used, but I think it would be a very good time to reintroduce that for our people. They've been holding on to those things for a long time, waiting for for Bullock to return.
We've been talking over the years with tribes in California, especially about condors and releasing them back into the wild. When do you think this could become a reality for the Yochidehi Wintun Nation now that you have this national monument designation?
Well, I don't know when exactly, but I do know we're working on it now. There's lots of studies to be done. You know, we're working with our partners to find out if we have the proper habitat, if the condors have what they need to be sustainable in that area. So we have some work to do, and that work's being done now. But I'm hoping in the next couple of years we can actually have, if everything goes well, we can start to have releases in that area and begin to monitor how they're doing out there. But we do have a ways to go to see scientifically and culturally if the condor can be sustained in that area.
Well, it's certainly something to look forward to. Now that you have this designation, the work now begins, as I'm just hearing from you. What are the next steps? What are your initial priorities for the next year?
Our initial priorities are going to be reaching out to the potential partners. I think that's going to be a big one for us in really having discussions of how we get to shape these types of new memorandums of understanding for co-stewardship. So our next step is going to be navigating through that piece and including our partners,
partners. Yeah. And finally, what are your big goals or dreams for this area? I know a lot needs to happen. You have to work with your partners as well. But let's say 5 to 10 years from now, if everything works out the way you would like it to, what would you like Molokluyuk to look like?
I would like it to look like an area where folks can come and learn about the area so that there are uses that are functional for not only the public, but for the tribes in the area. I'd like the tribes being able to gather in that area, to use the resources, as well as the managing the other uses that the BLM is charged with on the land, and having those work out in a way to where we are working as partners and we're getting good funding for monitoring all that stuff. I think that's going to be a challenge.
Treasurer Kinter, thanks for joining us. It was nice talking with you.
Thank you very much. We live all.
Leland Kinter is the tribal treasurer for the Yochidehi Wintun Nation, and we've been talking about the expansion of the Berryessa Snow Mountain National Monument in Napa and Mendocino counties to include a culturally significant addition. It is called Molokluyuk, which means Condor Ridge in Putwin. Still ahead, a celebration of cycling is making its way back to the American River Parkway this weekend. We're going to get a preview of the 21st annual Bike Fest. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.